is Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you.
Happy November.
Happy November. Chris, did you get up to anything on Halloween, though, yesterday? Did you go trick-or-treating?
No.
No?
I passed that part of my life. No trick-or-treating, unfortunately. But we had some trick-or-treaters in the office. Well, some people dressing up.
Yep.
So shout out to Nancy Rollins, who gave me a lot of chocolate.
Oh, my gosh, so much. She just threw it in my purse. She's like, do you want some? I'm like, no, thanks. I'm good. She just shoved it in. She's like, okay, great. Have a nice night.
Yeah, boys are throwing around Smarties in the office, and I'm like, give them to me. Like,
so we're wired. Like, right now, we're wired off chocolate. All we've been doing this morning is eating chocolate bars and Smarties.
Lots of sports. So much sports.
Bishop Sankey, quickly.
Bishop Sankey.
He joined KC. We were talking about what they're going to do with their backfield now that they've had a ton of injuries, and they released Nile Davis, and then Bishop Sankey is apparently their answer.
Sure. Hopefully he doesn't play. Again, Charcandrick West is the pickup, as we talked with Derek Van Riper about that. He's the guy that you want. Also, Bastion, before we came on here, Percy Harvin, back in the NFL.
Yes.
Back in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills, who he used to play for, playing against his old team, the Seattle Seahawks. Percy's always been one of my favorites. I just remember the Minnesota days with Favre. He was just so fun to watch. And even some highlight reels, of course, in the Super Bowl, the kick return in the second half. But I don't know if I'm, like, rushing the waiver wire to get the injury-prone Percy Harvin.
Back at it again.
He's back.
Damn, Percy, back at it again. Okay, what's going on in Tennessee there with their backs, Chris?
Okay, yeah. So Tennessee, DeMarco Murray's been one of the best running backs in football this season. Hands down, the second most fantasy points right behind David Johnson. Just consistency every time from this guy. So he's dealing with a toe injury. MRI came back clean. It looks like they're just going to be cautious with him in practice this week. Maybe give some more reps to Derrick Henry. We know that Murray and Henry finished inside the top 10 in touches for week 7. And I think you can get away with playing both of these guys. I think Henry's starting to get some more love, some more touches. He got a touchdown last week. They're playing the Chargers. And I think with 6 teams on bye, you can get by with playing both of these guys.
I like that. That was nice. Not way bad. To tie it with a bow at the end there, Chris. Yesterday, we were talking about trick-or-treating, and we were talking about Chicago Bears backfield specifically because there's Langford, Howard, Kadeem Carey. We didn't know what was going to happen. Well, it was Howard. He ran away with it, and that is an understatement, honestly.
Really,
202 total yards on 30 total touches, 153 yards on the ground. But the biggest thing here, the snap count. Howard, 50 snaps. Kadeem Carey, 6. Langford, 5. Out of the 33 touches to running backs, it was 30.
Yeah, yeah.
It was 30 for Howard. Only 3 for the other two guys. So as it stands now, it seems as though Howard is the safe play.
Yeah, when we talked about it yesterday, we were like, it's so confusing, and I feel like, you know, John Fox will just pick one
ride
guy and
hand.
Ride with the hot hand.
Exactly.
It was certainly Howard. We did say, Ashley, that maybe Kadeem Carey would have the better game. I know that I said that, but I did say as well that Jordan Howard is the most talented back of the trio, and he certainly is, and he showed it yesterday. 30 touches, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
That's number one. I mean, we did our touches and targets on Monday, and 27 was the highest with Hightower. 30 is the most.
Jordan Howard had the
most touches, and he was so productive against the Vikings, so good stuff. Question is, was LeSean McCoy going to get 30 touches on Monday?
Nope.
Probably not.
Nope.
It's too early to tell with this guy. That game is on Monday night. You're going to be in a tough situation, as you have been for the past couple weeks. Is this guy going to be ruled out? He probably won't be ruled out on Sunday. So as we talk on Sunday morning here at the live show leading up to kickoff, hopefully we have a little bit more news. Is McCoy, was he able to practice this week? That's the things I want to see and look for. Even if he's 100% healthy, I think he's a borderline top 15 back this week against Seattle. It's tough. Gillislee is in there. He played well last week. So this is not a terrific matchup for him. You want him to be healthy, and I think the Bills should take another week for just having McCoy on the sidelines. But who knows? It's Buffalo. I mean, nobody saw that injury coming. Actually, everybody saw it coming but the Bills. So at least the aggravation. I don't know. It's not great news, but keep an eye on him throughout the week.
Bryan Matthews owners, some more not great news. Not only has he been fumble prone over the last couple of games, now Doug Peterson has said he's going to go back and reevaluate his backfield and see if Darren Sproles has earned the starting role. I think it's kind of obvious that yes, he has. 5 yards per carry on the ground, over 10 yards per reception through the air. That's for Sproles. Matthews getting out snapped 113 offensive snaps Sproles has over Matthews in the entire season, 63 snaps to 8 on a Sunday.
It's funny to see the Roto-World headline, like, you know, Doug Peterson thinking about, you know, benching Matthews for Sproles. He already has. I mean, hasn't that what we've seen for the past couple weeks? Like, ever since the fumble in Detroit in the fourth quarter, it's been all Sproles.
Yeah.
I mean, they put in Smallwood in the one snap in the fourth. He fumbles the ball. I think that Doug Peterson should give Matthews a little bit more love here. Let's just give him some more play. He seems to only get in there in the red zone. He had a touchdown last, Sunday night.
Salvaging
Dallas.
Mike, quite frankly.
But 10 or fewer carries in four of the seven games. In one game, he had 11 carries. So this is not a great situation for Matthews. He can't stay healthy. Maybe he's not as good as what people thought. He's like, oh, last year he had like 6.0 yards per carry. It's like, yeah, he only played like a handful of snaps. It was him, Murray, Sproles, and Barner. Chip Kelly was all over the place with that old
the whole backfield
that
running back bike.
So it's not great, and it's not great for Niall Davis either, who's just cut, done.
He gone.
Like, the Packers don't care at all about running the football. Clearly, they just wanted Aaron Rodgers throw like 50 times a game. But McCarthy said today that he's not going to have Rodgers throw the ball 50 times a game. They want to establish a run game, but he's cut. He's done. Rutkowski is a guy that had more carries than Don Jackson, so I think he's higher on the depth chart for me. James Starks, I think he needs to be picked up. I think in a couple weeks we'll see him play, and he's not fantastic, but we're looking at volume here, and I think he'll be back. And Ty Montgomery is dealing with a little bit of a scary issue as well.
Yeah, but it seems as though cutting Niall Davis means Ty Montgomery, the initial thoughts that were precautionary holding him out, are not as serious as it thought. So there was reports that he actually had blood in his urine prior to Sunday's game, and obviously that's a symptom that's very serious, and it can indicate a lot of different problems. They thought initially he had a contact injury, and that's why the reports were that his kidney was injured and that was leading to the blood in his urine. Yeah. But it was revealed in college actually that he had the sickle cell trait, and sometimes that can lead to prolonged symptoms in terms of injuries. We were talking about his hamstring.
Yes.
John Brown has a sickle cell trait. Tevin Coleman has a sickle cell trait. We were just talking about Coleman potentially not being able to play in Denver due to it. But Ty Montgomery is expected to be fine, which is good news for the Packers if you own him, and also for his general overall health.
Yeah, I mean, doctors said it's not career threatening.
No.
And he may be able to play on Sunday.
He said he's not concerned.
So if he's not, the doctor's not concerned, Ty Montgomery's not concerned, that's good news, because if he gets back in there, I think he's a productive guy, because, you know, you have the running back and the wide receiver eligibility on some sites, and plus he's getting some carries and some targets.
And if it PPR, he's had like, I think it's like 50 or 60 yards in the last two games through the air alone. Corey Coleman, welcome back, my friend.
Yes.
He was practicing last week but was not cleared to catch the ball, but that all changed this week. So he actually is expected to play in Dallas this week, which would be so nice. Coleman is from the area, so all of his friends and family will get to come out and see him play. Something like Jamal Murray from the Denver Nuggets was just back in Toronto. He said he had to buy 100 tickets.
Oh boy.
Friends, families, coaches, etc., hangers on.
Hopefully he didn't have to buy the beer at the ACC, because that's expensive stuff.
It's really expensive.
Corey Coleman, he's great. He's fantastic. This is his last game before he got hurt. He was
awesome.
We
only had a small sample size, and he went off 173 yards in his two games. He scored two touchdowns in his last appearance, and so we're expected to see him bounce right back, which would actually be a reprieve for Terrell Pryor,
who's
their best receiver. It might, but it could also open Pryor up if the best corners decide to cover Coleman instead.
Yeah, and Pryor's, I mean, he's top 10 in targets. He's a top 10 fantasy wide receiver.
He's not just going to disappear.
Pretty shocking. So this is just good news, because it seems like the offense just works better and rolls better with Josh McCown in there. So you see Terrell Pryor, I mean, 69 targets, 41 catches. This is a surprise. I mean, a lot of people were big on him week one against the Eagles. He's only $3,000 on DraftKings. You see how his price is basically doubled up to this point.
Yeah.
So he's fine. Coleman's fine. Get Coleman. If he's hanging around your waiver wire, pick him up. Let's preview Thursday Night Football before we get into some Halloween stuff and some basketball.
Yeah.
Thursday Night Football. Tammy, ruled out. He's gone. Austin Hooper. I mean, I don't know. You got to be pretty desperate to be going after him. I know six teams are on bye, but yikes. Let's forget about him for a second. Let's talk about this Bucs backfield. Antoine Smith looking like he's going to be the guy. His career numbers, actually okay when you look at them. 15.7 yards per catch, 9.1 yards per carry. Problem is, he's only had 35 career carries in the NFL and 18 receptions. But, I mean, I think he can be okay. I think he's a guy that you can play if you're playing in a Thursday, a whole week contest on DraftKings. He's fairly cheap. You can roll him in there. And if you're hurting, because I know a lot of people are, six teams on bye, I think he can play him. I mean, this is their fourth back. Rodgers did fine.
Yep.
Martin.
And they've proven
Sims,
that no matter who it is, they want to give them volume.
Exactly.
Rodgers got 75 touches
last week that he played.
They just want to feed him the ball.
Yeah.
And plus, Atlanta's defense, well, actually, Atlanta's run defense pretty good, under 100 yards per game.
Revenge game, though, for Smith.
You believe in revenge games?
Former Falcon. No,
anyway, Ricky Rubio, he's hurt. He got home too, but that shouldn't really be a surprise, although I didn't think it was going to necessarily happen this quickly.
Soon, yeah.
but it's concerning. He has an elbow sprain, but he's been ruled out indefinitely, which is strange. So it leads me to believe it might be a little bit more serious, but Rubio, maybe they just don't want to put a pressure of a timeline on someone who gets in, like, gets criticized a lot for his being injured. So that just means Chris Dunn stepping in as the point guard, and it means we could see some of Tyus Jones, actually.
Yeah.
He was the MVP of Summer League this past year, lost in the finals
to
the Bulls and Denzel Valentine. He was great. He had 20.4 points per game, almost 7 assists per game. So he's definitely an undersized guard, but it'll be interesting to see kind of how he fits into this.
Be a sneaky DFS play. Go pick up Dunn. He's fantastic. He's going to touch all categories. Thibodeau's a defensive guy. He's a defensive guy. Yeah, Rubio, I mean, they were going to trade this guy. I mean, they drafted Dunn. They got Zach LaVine, who's going to get a big boost. Only 2 full seasons in 5 years.
All right, let's get a little bit in the spirit. One day removed from the NHL not having any games, giving their players a chance to either go out on Halloween or recover from their Halloween parties. This is Jonathan Toews.
That's awesome.
And he is known as Captain Serious, so his Halloween costume, Dead Serious.
Mr. and Mrs. Dead Serious. That's
great. I love it so much. And then this
my
is
boy, BK.
Honoring the late, great Prince with his costume.
Yeah.
And then we have Jonathan Huberto. He's channeling Elliot with his ET costume.
And with the cast on his left leg there, because, you know, he's out for like 3 to 4 months with a significant leg injury.
Not letting that hold him back from having some fun,
good.
Though.
What was your favorite?
Out of all of those?
Yeah.
Like PK? PK was probably singing Prince songs.
PK is
like
good. He always goes all out. I'll give it to PK. Probably because he was singing.
Yeah.
Dancing.
Absolutely.
Acting like.
I'm
all right.
To Captain Sears.
Chris, DFS plays for NHL tonight. 12 games on the ice. We'll get to that on FST coming up next. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here on the desk with you. And there's 12 games in the NHL tonight after a night off yesterday. And so, Chris Meaney, we got to get his plays for the evening. Sir, are you ready?
Full name there, eh?
Chris, it's very serious. It's when your mom gets mad at you and calls you first and middle name.
Yeah, Chris, you get a lot of Christopher.
You get a lot of Christopher. Okay, Christopher, cash plays for the day, my friend.
Let's go. This might be Chuck, but I don't care who's giving up the most shots in the NHL, Ashley. The Arizona Coyotes. Who's giving up the most goals in the NHL, Ashley? The Arizona Coyotes. Who's on the road in San Jose? Arizona Coyotes.
Yikes.
I'm going with the Sharks today. Joe Pavelski. The only players that have more forwards that have more points per game on DraftKings is Jeff Skinner and Chris Kreider. Those guys have been hurt, so they don't really count. Joe Pavelski is just a flat-out stud. He's got 30 shots on goal. 4 of his 11 points have been on the power play. Boedker is the sneaky play here. He's been put on this line. You see they're only 1 goal and only 9 shots on goal. The last game, he was on a line with Joe Thornton and Joe Pavelski. He played well over that average of 15 minutes. He had 3 shots on goal, the most that he's ever had in a game so far this year. He's also a former Coyote, and that is actually a thing, revenge.
It's not
this
a thing.
It is. This
it's
is a guy
a
who was this was a guy who was traded away. They didn't want him. Now he's playing his former squad. He's going to bring it tonight.
Just
I guarantee
because you're
you
mad,
that.
It doesn't make you better.
It does. It
Although
gives you that
I do
extra
like your play.
Motivation.
I'm just saying in general.
We'll talk about the play tomorrow if it's any good. Also on there, Brett Burns. Like Burns, this is another guy who's really, really good. 9 points in his first 5 games and then scoreless in his last 4, and you think, oh, he's in a little bit of a slump. He had 20 shots in those 4 games. He has 30 shots on the season. Actually, 45 shots, on the season. That's the most in the NHL from a defenseman.
Yeah.
The most shots. He's got the third most blocks. Doesn't count on FanDuel, but it counts on DraftKings. 26 blocks. He played 28 minutes the other game. He's playing half the time. He's just fantastic. So play your Sharks tonight at home. It's a good matchup.
Sharks for cash. You're going to cash in on San Jose.
It's actually in Arizona, my bad. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's still going to be
still
the Sharks.
Go with the Sharks.
They're still going to chomp down on the Coyotes.
Yeah, nice.
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
All right, tell me about your GPP plays for the night, though. You're targeting one game specifically.
Yeah, Colorado and Nashville. You know what? This is just, it seems like it's going to be high scoring. I know a lot of people think it could be low scoring. Nashville's really struggling, but Pekka Rinne, he's just allowed, you know, at least 4 goals in 2 of his last 4 starts. He's allowed actually 17 goals in his last 4 outings. He's got a save percentage that's just .906. It's not great. So I do like Duchesne there. He's got 4 goals in his last 4 games, getting a lot of ice time. I think that he can, you know, get a couple goals. But also on the other side of that, you see Duchesne pop up. He's been really hot of late, too.
Point per game.
17 shots on goal. Yeah, point per game. He's the guy that you want there. And then on the other side of that game, James Neal. I mean, Nashville's really loading up. They're really struggling. This is a Stanley Cup contending team. They got James Neal playing with Ryan Johansson and Philip Forsberg, so they're really loading loading up that top line. James Neal scored a goal in his last game. You see there only one goal, and you're just like, when is it going to come from this guy? 30 shots on goal, tied for 16 among everybody in the NHL. So go ahead and get James Neal. I think he's a GPP player that not a lot of people will focus on.
And both teams, Nashville and Colorado, not great on the penalty kill, so some opportunity for
Nashville's
power play goals.
All their goals have been power play. And Colorado likes to play like a wide open style of hockey, so I think that bodes well for Nashville.
I like it. This one I'm interested in, though. One of your plays tonight is William Nylander. They're taking on the
Oilers.
Oilers, thank you. For some reason, I was going to say the Oakville Rock. That's lacrosse. My bad. The Edmonton Oilers. But that's interesting because Cam Talbot has been so good.
He
struggled
awesome
at first, the first couple games, letting in 13 goals over the first three games, but then just 5 goals in his next 6. So why do you think the young Nylander is going to be successful?
How old do you think Nylander looks there?
About 15. He looks like he should be in Tiger Beat magazine.
I was going to give him 11. Like, he's probably trick-or-treating yesterday. No?
Because you're not a teenage girl. Continue.
Yeah, Cam Talbot's been awesome. He's actually the most expensive goalie tonight, but I think he's playing a little bit over his head. I think he's a good goalie. I don't think he's that good of a goalie.
Okay.
The Oilers still allow a lot of shots, and William Nylander is great. He's just having a fantastic start to the season. Only so far 11 points in 9 games. Really got a chance to watch him Saturday night and just see like how poised he is, how much patience he has. Him and Matthews certainly have a connection. They always look for each other, and Nylander's the guy. He's just am amazed with his patience with the puck in the offensive zone. So I think he can make things happen. So I think he's a good play, and still, as price hasn't caught up to him, he's under $6,000, which is a steal in my
opinion. Toronto has not had trouble scoring.
They haven't been successful
because their defense hasn't been that good.
They're top 5 in shots for, and Edmonton's top 5 in shots allowed. So you figure they're going to get their chances.
It's going to be
tonight.
A big offensive game tonight. Yeah. All right, what about goalies, though? I'm assuming you're staying away from both of these goalies, considering the information we just mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jones, I like Jones. If you're going to go for the win, I mean, why not? I just said all the negative things about Arizona. So there's a play that you can go for the win. Also, Devan Dubnyk, I mean, this guy's got 3 straight games with a shutout. How could you not play him and just roll him out there? He had a shutout against Buffalo last week, who he gets tonight. The Sabres made 38 saves in that. And then Sergei Bobrovsky is interesting as well. The third most shots allowed Columbus. When you think they're, the third most shots, you don't want it. But you want saves. 33.6 shots against, that's what Columbus is allowing per game. But you look at Bobrovsky, 31 saves per game. That's the most in the NHL. So you're going to get those counting stats. So he's been fantastic so far this year. 940 save percentage is really good compared to Arizona allowing those shots, and they don't have their top goalie in Mike Smith.
Chris, thank you so much.
Alrighty.
Always educational. Coming up next, though, Robin Black is going to talk to us about UFC 205 in New York for the first time. This is a big one. Back on FST very soon. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. The man on the end barely needs an introduction. This is Robin Black. He's our MMA analyst here, UFC analyst on Fight Network. Robin, we're glad to have you.
Yes. Good. Last time you won us a bunch of money with all your plays.
Money.
Money's always a good thing.
Yeah.
And New York is about to get a ton of money. Their economy is going to be thriving because they finally signed a bill to pass MMA in the state of New York. And as a result, UFC 205 is going to be at MSG on November 12th. And it's a huge card. But before we get into that, what does this mean for New York?
Yeah, I mean, the UFC and mixed martial arts is a big game. It's a big sport. And for some reason, and we kind of know the reasons, but New York was really slow to legalize it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of behind the scenes weirdness going on. The Culinary Union was at odds with the ownership of the UFC, who owned some casinos in Las Vegas. And there was this weird underhanded stuff going on. But eventually it got passed, and it's going to be a big card.
Do you think a long time coming? Are you surprised it took so long to get your first, the main event, the main tilt here in New York?
Yeah, it was a big deal, and it's a big one. You don't get much bigger right now than Conor McGregor. You know, Conor and Ronda Rousey are the biggest fighters going.
Yeah.
And Conor McGregor fighting for the lightweight title. He's already the featherweight champion. He'd be the first guy to ever have 2 titles at one time. So it's a big one.
Let's talk about that. Does he get that done?
That's a tough one, man. You know, Eddie Alvarez kind of represents something that Conor has faced before. You know, Jose Aldo was a guy with excellent grappling. He really became a wrestler in his life, and built his game around defending takedowns and striking you at distance. And Conor took him out in 13 seconds.
Wow.
You know what I mean? He has been getting ready to fight this prototypical boxer wrestler for a long time. He was supposed to fight Rafael Dos Anjos before he fought Nate Diaz, who's also a prototypical boxer wrestler. So he believes that he's custom built to beat this kind of fighter. But Eddie Alvarez is a whole different animal. He's just a little mentally tougher than anybody Conor's ever faced, and just kind of urgent patient fighter. So it's a spectacular fight.
And who wins this fight? Because you did an amazing breakdown on this fight. And if you haven't seen it, you have to go on YouTube and check it
out.
But one of the big revelations for me was the Sapp-Alvarez scale, which weighs risk versus reward, essentially.
Yeah, you got to tell people about this scale.
Well, and Alvarez, you were saying one of his fight styles before he kind of decided to learn from his past mistakes was he was super aggressive and could take a lot of punishment, so could afford to take those risks.
That's exactly right. And when I created this scale that compares your risk-taking behavior with your willingness and ability to take damage, Eddie Alvarez was on the top of that scale. Literally created the scale around him because he's so tenacious, he's so tough, and because of that, exactly, Ashley, because of that, his ability to take damage, he can push through the fire. But that is not how you want to fight Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor's left hand is more powerful than almost any single strike in the game. So trusting your chin, your toughness in your chin to get you through that is not the right approach. But over time, Alvarez changed his game and leveraged his ability to wrestle you and to take you into deeper waters. And that should be the way he attacks this fight. Even with that, I believe that McGregor and his coach have made a game, have evolved the game of fighting past this style of fight. So I would pick Conor McGregor in this fight, but it picking fights and picking winners in fights is a pretty crazy game.
McGregor going to have a nice belt to add to his already flashy wardrobe.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the main event is so intriguing, but the co-main event is really intriguing to me too. It seems like a two, you know, Thompson and Woodley, two strikers. Could be a lot of fireworks in, the, in this tilt.
Yeah, this is an exciting fight too, and it's very interesting to me, and as I don't understand any sport outside of fighting, but people explain to me that in basketball, the three-point game changed how basketball is played.
Yes.
Year. And Stephen Thompson kind of represents that in fighting. You know, for us to fight and to exchange punches and kicks, we almost have to have an unwritten agreement that we'll stay in each other's range. Stephen Thompson has no such agreement. He stays on the outside at the three-point line and eats you up from out there. And when you chase him, when you try to aggressively chase him, he makes you pay for that. So he's really changing the game. And Tyron Woodley has to find answers. His coach is one of the great, you know, outside kickboxers of all time, and Duke Rufus and his family, so they're going to prepare something special for Tyron Woodley to approach this fight, but it's a very, very big challenge. I would be picking Stephen Thompson to win this.
So it seems like Woodley is changing his style to prepare for Thompson, where Thompson's just doing his own thing.
Thompson has made it mandatory for you to change your approach. Nobody's really been able to solve it yet. Matt Brown solved it years back through tenacity and toughness, but Thompson has evolved a ton since then, so you have to find answers, and nobody's found them yet.
First of all, I must say that follow through on your 3-point shot. Nice, Robin. I like
it. Better than mine last week.
I like it. All right. Well, for DraftKings, when you're setting your lineup, you get bonus points for knockouts. The obviously more points, first round, second round, third round, it goes
deeper
down.
There you go.
Yeah. But who is your lock for a knockout? Who do you think is going to finish their opponent?
You know, knockouts are tough things to predict because a lot of things have to take place to set them up. But Chris Weidman is super motivated. He will have changed his approach. He's facing Yoel Romero, who's very much a wrestler. Chris will be looking to old school sprawl and brawl. Stop the takedown and let his hands go. He suffered his first career loss, lost his middleweight belt. He's going to be hyper, hyper motivated, and he's a New Yorker. So he's the guy I'm expecting to see a knockout.
We only got about a minute. We want to get a lock out of you. One guy you're really feeling comfortable and maybe a couple underdog plays.
Another New Yorker, Frankie Edgar. I mean, Frankie Edgar is a lock against almost anyone. That he's facing is a tough opponent, but Frankie Edgar would be my lock in New York.
Your lock in New York, homeboy.
Home court advantages here. I like it. And then some underdogs. Maybe people are overlooking these guys, but you think sneakily they have a real shot here.
Jim Miller is a huge underdog, and he should never be an underdog in almost any fight. Michael Johnson's another huge underdog. He's facing Khabib Nurmagomedov, who has never lost, but this just feels like one of those ones. Everybody loses eventually. This is the type of guy you'd underestimate in Michael Johnson, and he has been on fire lately.
Nice. There you have it. Robin Black, man, this guy's amazing.
Michael Johnson,
fantastic.
Not
just
the runner.
It's a small tidbit, really, of what you can see on the Fight Network.
Yeah, make sure you check out Robin on Twitter. Make sure you check him out on YouTube. All his breakdowns are there. And we will be back on Fantasy Sports Today tomorrow with all your fantasy news.
Cheers.